Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You are listening to Season 4, Episode 8. The Cubs have 7 of the top 100 prospects. Don't forget to listen, download, review, and most importantly, subscribe to our podcast. Follow on all the social media, Fly the W 670 on Twitter, Instagram, and Fly the W on Facebook, or email us at flythew670@gmail.com. All right, Crowley, Ryan Pressly is official, and he has now met with the media, jumped on the score. Let's talk a little bit about what he had to say.
Yeah, you know, when Ryan Pressly, you know, I don't know, Dustin, I was a little bit nervous, but after our last episode talking to Chandler Rome and listening to what Ryan Pressly says, I'm not going to let the ghost of Hector Neris haunt me anymore. I think I'm going to give this a shot here is what I'm going to tell you. So obviously when he does these beat writers, it's kind of funny because if you watched on Marquee, he did it in his car, which, you know, I thought was kind of amusing, but, you know, not
well, waiting for his kids, right? He was waiting to go into a parent teacher conference, something you know all about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of funny. And of course, when you do these things, you get some of the classic Bull Durham quotes. You know, we got to play them one day at a time. I'm just happy to be here. Hope I can help the ball club, those type of things. But when I kind of looked at it, there was like three different categories that I looked at. The first was kind of looking at the decision to waive his no trade clause. Remember, he took the weekend. It wasn't like, you know, that was Thursday when Bob Nightingale first reported on this. And it wasn't until Sunday that he agreed to waive it. So there was some thought that went behind this, right? There's also some interesting cuts about him being a reliever and specifically being a closer and the difference between pitching in the eighth and pitching in the ninth, which I found interesting. And then, you know, he talked a little bit about his relationship with his new and former teammates, and you kind of learned that he has a little bit of a past with Tommy Hotovy. So that was kind of cool. I didn't know that prior to the Zoom and some of these quotes. So, you know, one of the first questions that he was asked had to do with signing with the Cubs and why he would want to sign with the Cubs. Here's what Ryan had to say.
Playing for the Chicago Cubs, a pretty historic franchise, and then you get to go pitch in Wrigley is, something that I've always wanted to do. I mean, even as a little kid, you know, watching Rookie of the Year and stuff like that, you never think that you're going to be able to have a chance or an opportunity to do it. And, you know, it came about and, you know, having a lot of long, hard conversations with family and friends, so it was tough to make this decision, probably one of the hardest decisions I've ever made. But I think playing in Chicago has kind of always been a dream of mine, and I'm excited to get out there and put on a Cubs uniform.
Dustin, do you know how we know we're getting old? I'll tell you. Back in the day, people would say, hey, I used to watch the Cubs on WGN, but he said he watched Rookie of the Year.
Right.
So right. A little bit different. We got to keep shooting some more movies at Wrigley, and hopefully young ball players will want to come play for the Cubs one day, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a blast from the past. Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, he's saying all the right things there. I mean, you know, nothing earth-shattering or anything like that.
No. And so when he talks about having to leave Houston, you know, this is kind of some of the stuff that we knew was difficult when he had to make a decision.
Obviously my wife's from Houston. I'm from Dallas. A lot of my friends and family live in Houston area, and then, you know, going up to play the Rangers, I get to see even more family and friends. Both my kids were born here. They go to school here, which I'm actually sitting in the parking lot right now. We have a parent-teacher conference in a little bit. But, it's just, you know, being at home, been here at home for the past 6.5-7 years. So, it's just, you know, it's hard to leave your home. But, you know, again, you know, an opportunity to go play for the Cubs, came about. And it was one of these opportunities I don't feel like comes around very often. I think it's it was a great opportunity. So I'm just excited that, you know, the Cubs, you know, wanted me there. And, you know, like I said, it's always been kind of a dream. So I'm excited to be there.
We talked about this. It is hard, Dustin. I will say that I was born in Illinois and I'll die in Illinois. And that's going to be that. And when you're home and you have your family around you, that's hard to leave. And when you think about it, he had the best of both worlds because his wife's from Houston. He's from Dallas. So when they play Rangers Houston, it gets crazy. That had to have been hard to leave, you know?
Yeah, it's not, you know, they say, well, you make all this money. What? It's not that hard. It's still hard, right? It's hard on the kids. It's hard on friends and family. Their family lives down there. A lot of baseball players don't live in the same city they play, but they did. And it's not easy, but, you know, they've got enough money to get back and forth. He doesn't have to be there. He is on the road quite a bit. So that's the thing about baseball. You're on the road so much that I think it doesn't really matter where you technically live.
And you remember Corbin Burnes signed with Arizona and everyone was shocked until you found out his wife had twins and they live in Arizona. So, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, they're people too. They're humans too. And they have families and certain things that they're looking for. So that was kind of interesting. And so Ryan asked if any of his teammates, his new teammates, had reached out to him, any of the Cubs players. And I always kind of find it when I listen to this, it's always kind of like a certain order. So see, you know, when you listen to this of who calls and who, when you hear from them, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. So Jameson Taillon has been back and forth. He's from the Woodlands down here. And you know, he has trained with one of my trainers as well. So in passing and in a few conversations, you know, I've had with him and he sold me on it pretty good. And Dansby, as soon as, I mean, I think within 30 seconds after I waved it, Dansby texted me. He said, you know, he's excited for me to be there. And I've obviously played with Tucker and Thielbar, some familiar faces. And then Tommy Hotovy was actually in the same organization the same time I was with the Red Sox. So have been around and have known him for a really long time. So I'm excited to work with him and you know, work with all these guys. But, you know, those are the main guys that have reached out. We're heading out Sunday, so I'm sure I'm going to meet everybody. And Skip called me yesterday and talked to him for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, talked to Jed. So everybody's been, you know, welcoming with open arms. And, you know, it's going to be exciting. I can't wait.
So for me, Dustin, the first person that always seems to call and be promoting the Cubs is Jameson Taillon. And for me, I just kind of feel like, you know, you don't have to do the recruiting. And there's been players in other sports that are like, that's not my job.
They refuse. They almost go out of their way to say, you know, I to your point, it's not my job. I refuse. I will not do it.
Right. And I feel like J-Mo is one of those guys that like literally is like pushing people to join the Cubs. And that's just added value beyond what he does on the mound. So, you know, I've said this about Yu Darvish in the past too, just guys that I bet you whatever happens in J-Mo's future, whether he finishes with the Cubs, whether he goes elsewhere, if anyone asks J-Mo, what do you think about the Cubs? I guarantee he's going to tell them what a great place it is and what a great franchise it is. And that's important. And then the other one is it's all, the second that these guys join the team, the first call or text they get is from Dansby. And so to me, Dansby Swanson, you know, I know Kyle Tucker's coming and everything I heard from Chandler Rome that we talked with the other day, you know, he's kind of more of a quiet leader, but to me, the vocal leader of the clubhouse is still Dansby Swanson. And how cool is it that you know, teammate of the score, Tommy Hotovy and Presley were in the Red Sox organization.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I did not hear that piece of audio prior to this. That is pretty cool.
So it's good that they're going to have that relationship. And so when we talked last time, it was, you know, frustrating for Presley to get demoted to get Josh Hader. Like you said last episode, you know, they didn't pay all that money to have him pitch the eighth, right? And so that's right. Hard to sit there and be like, okay, you lost your job.
It's a hit to the ego, right? It's a hit to the ego, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even though you didn't do anything wrong. So they asked Ryan if there was talk about what his role was going to be with the Cubs.
Obviously they said I would close some games. You know, I think Nate Pearson was, or no, I'm sorry, Potter Hodge was closing. And he had an unbelievable year, put up great numbers. I think we're going to be a pretty dynamic duo in the back end of the bullpen. You know, I'm going to go into camp, you know, competing for that ninth inning role, you know, and whatever happens is going to happen. And if they think that I can pitch in that ninth inning role or the eighth inning role, then, you know, my job is just to go get 3 outs, 4 outs, 5 outs. It doesn't matter. I just want to go do my job and be able to bring a win to the team and just help everybody be successful. I just want to help. I just want to win, you know, honestly. And however, which way I could do that, whether it be in the ninth inning role or the eighth inning role, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to win.
That's the Bull Durham line. That's the Bull Durham.
And I just want to win. I just want to win. But Crawley, I have to compliment him. Something that if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you've heard me say, and it drives me absolutely crazy with these relievers and these, I can only do this, I got to come in with a clean inning. You just heard him say, if I got to get 1, 2, 3, he even went to 5. Okay. He's not afraid to go out there and get 5 outs. If that's going to help the team win. Got to like that. Of course he needs to execute it, but I love the fact that he's saying it.
Absolutely. But in the next couple clips we're going to hear, you can hear how excited he is to close. And to me, you know, that's what I was really interested in, is just how much he's chomping at the bit to show that he can still do it. And so hopefully by the time camp starts, he gets Porter Hodge's name. I hope everyone in the bullpen starts calling Porter Potter, but we'll see what happens.
Mr. Potter.
Yeah. And so, you know, he did talk about trying to mentor some of the young guys in the bullpen, but here's where he kind of talks about that demotion in Houston. And I found this to be really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, every bullpen guy wants to be the ninth inning guy. And, you know, it's just, you know, we brought in Josh Hader, who's an unbelievable pitcher, relief pitcher. I think he's been a Role A's relief pitcher 3 times. You know, he's an unbelievable guy and a great teammate. And, you know, pitching in the eighth inning, setting him up. Again, I wanted to help the team win. Didn't matter really what I did. And learning from it, you know, it was tough. You know, you get demoted and then you got to go out there and be professional and try to lead the right way. And that was, I think, one of the things that, you know, kind of separates yourself from, you know, being an athlete and a professional. Like, you want to carry yourself professionally. And, you know, that's what they pay us to do, is to go out there and be a professional. And I think that the best way I could do that and show my teammates, you know, how I can carry myself, even when stuff's not going to go your way, is a big way that you can kind of pass that on along down to the younger guys. And look, it's just, sometimes it's not going to go the way you want it to, but you just got to keep your head up and just kind of do what you know how to do, and everything else will fall into place.
So I like that he talked about being professional, kind of showing the young guys how to be a pro, and sometimes things don't go your way. But Dustin, you could hear it in that quote, how it was frustrating for him.
Yep. And I love, though, we talked about it a couple of minutes ago, about how he is willing to mentor. He's not against that. He's actually, you know, embracing it.
Well, absolutely. And the Cubs are going to need it, because they are going to have a lot of young guys in their pen. So it was also why Hector Neris. And again, as bad as Hector was, there were a lot of young bullpen guys that said, no, we learned a lot from Hector. He didn't, you know, do what you needed on the field, but he was a good presence there. And so hopefully
we don't need Hector Neris point up here. That's what we don't right. need that.
But again, if you can sit there and both do your job and be a mentor, that's huge. But Dustin, you know, we saw it in Chicago. Remember, the Cubs traded Craig Kimbrel over to the South Side in one of the worst Chicago trades for both teams. But Craig Kimbrel was never, he was given the eighth inning and Liam Hendricks had the ninth inning. And so, you know, you say, well, what's the difference? But for some of these guys, it is there. And it wasn't like he was complaining or said, I can't do it. But for whatever reason, the adrenaline doesn't kick in the same or what. Some guys struggle when they go from the ninth to the eighth, and other guys vice versa. I remember LaTroy Hawkins had a long career in MLB and was one of the great setup men in baseball. But in 2004, when Joe Borowski got injured, my God, LaTroy Hawkins couldn't throw the ninth, Dustin. He couldn't do it.
Right. Could not do it.
And so here's Ryan talking about eighth inning versus ninth inning.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, you want to be in the back end of the pen. You know, you want to close. It's a different kind of adrenaline. I'm not saying that you don't get it in the eighth inning, but to get those last three outs is pretty special, and to have a team call on you to get those last three outs is it's an honor. You know, pressure is privilege, right? So, you know, I just again, I still feel like I can close, and I want to, you know, still prove that I can close, and, you know, and an opportunity came up to where, you know, I could have that chance again. So I figured, you know, I could go capitalize on that opportunity and see what happens.
Pressure is privilege, Dustin. I like that.
Yeah, that's a good line. I agree. I like that line. It's a good one.
He says the adrenaline was different, you know, and that to me was interesting. And you know, if I was, you know, on that Zoom call, that would kind of just be like, okay, what do you mean by that? How is it, you know, just very curious as to the difference. But yeah, for some guys,
yeah, I could have used a follow-up there, but okay.
They need it. Now, he was asked about where he is in his career. There has been concern about the fastball dipping a little bit as far as velocity. Mm-hmm. And so here's what Ryan had to say about that.
You know, I still feel like I'm in pretty good shape. You know, I still think that my stuff plays at an elite level. Last year, however, I was mechanically fighting something throughout the entire year. You know, constantly trying to figure out how to get back to my old self. And, you know, it was just one of those things where, you know, I was constantly, like I said, battling mechanical stuff, and mentally that kind of took a toll on me as well. So I think last year was kind of one of those years where I don't really, you know, want to think too much on it. You know, and I just, you know, thinking one of those, you know, getting to a new spot, you know, getting some new eyes on me, can help clean that up a lot.
So fighting some mechanical issues last year, working on things, and, you know, looking forward to a new fresh set of eyes. So
those eyes would be Tommy Hotovy's, perhaps, right?
Correct. Tommy Hotovy, but then just with, in general, you know, the Cubs just have, with their pitching infrastructure, a lot of good people. Maybe there's something they see. Maybe they, I don't know if they're going to put them in the pitch lab. They tend to do that more with the younger guys. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of these guys do ever, you know, have a year where they're kind of a little bit off. But again, he has enough secondary pitches and enough experiences. And that's what Chandler Rome on the last episode, he talked about with Hector Neris, is that Hector was not a closer. He was more a setup guy. He has very limited closer experience. And that, you know, he won't, mainly when Presley was down, when if he'd been used multiple days or something, that's when Hector would come in and close one game here and there. But Presley has the experience, so I think that's going to be a big difference. And again, you talked about a fresh set of eyes, one of those being Tommy Hotovy. Here's what he said about Tommy Hotovy.
So Kevin Poppy down in here at DST, I've been working with him all offseason. We've been looking at a lot of mechanical stuff, and we think we've got about 98% of it cleaned up. I'm excited to get down there and start throwing to some hitters and see where we're at. Haven't been able to throw to any hitters yet, so. But my arm feels good. It feels everything's coming out really well. And, you know, I think we're going to be off to a really good start.
All right. Sounds good. Pitchers and catchers right around the corner, and he's ready to get down there. Now, Dustin, there are – some people may say that this is Houston North now, all of the Astros.
Yeah, it's feeling a little bit Houston-y. And, you know, there's this talk. Our guy Bruce Levine says that the Cubs are still, you know, in the mix for Bregman. It is a little – I will say it's getting a little too Astros-y for me. A little too Astros.
Well,
a little bit.
He was asked about that very thing, about Alex Bregman and why you would want to have Alex Bregman on your team. And this is what Presley had to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I would love to play with Breggy. You know, he's one of those guys that you have in the clubhouse that, man, all he wants to do is win. He doesn't care where he's at. And that's the one thing, you know, I love about him. He was the heartbeat, you know, of that clubhouse in Houston, and, you know, having him come to Chicago would be an amazing thing, I think, for us. However, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on in his camp. I just, you know, I personally, I would love to play with him again just because he's just a solid dude and a great teammate. And, you know, his kid plays with my kids and, you know, our wives are close friends. So again, having another familiar face on the team would be, you know, super helpful. And that left side of the infield would be really, really good. But I still think we're really good with or without him signing, you know, but again, I would love to have him with us in Wrigley.
So everyone that talks about Alex Bregman talks about his leadership, how much he wants to win, all those things. He's having down years. He's not going to get the money that he wants. I don't know if he's going to get one of those kind of opt-out type contracts. We'll wait and see. But the leadership quality is something that a lot of people do talk about. And one guy that, you know, like I said, is more of a quiet leader is Kyle Tucker. And he was, Presley was asked about what Kyle Tucker is going to bring to this Cubs team. And I love this last line he says right here.
Yeah, I mean, just an A-plus human being. You know, not the best fantasy football owner, I know that. but he's, you know, just a great guy to have in the clubhouse. And, you know, just, you know, he's going to end up being a really, really good player for a long time. I mean, everybody already knows he's a good player, but I think he's just now starting to scratch the surface, and I think he's going to go a long way. And, you know, I'm just glad I don't have to face him now. So I'm glad he's with us.
Not a great fantasy football owner, but just scratching the surface.
Right.
And this to me is, if Jed can pull off the extension, if Tom Ricketts will open up the pocketbook for what would be the biggest contract in Cubs history, this, like I said,
and also that those are very fair comments, Crowley, and I am with you 100%. If Kyle Tucker can prove that he can handle playing at Wrigley Field and handle being the guy, then yes, then we should find out if Tom and Jed are willing to pull the trigger. He still has to do his job first.
Absolutely, 100%. Okay. I am confident that like Presley said, that he's just scratching the surface, and we're about to see some of the best 4 to 5 years coming up for Kyle Tucker.
All right, very good.